Can we start with the Kennesaw State last night?
I watched the whole game.
The 1500 they were plus 1500 on the gambling line on the money.
27.5 point dog, right?
Yeah, you were minus 4500 if you wanted to bet on Liberty last night. So you would have played 4500 to win 100 last night. That's how much of an underdog they were. Bohannon just watched his interview on CBS HQ.
Yep.
He's fired up, man. He's been there a long time and seen a lot of success, but obviously not recently.
Well, having to go to Conference USA and a roster transition, yeah, having a couple of key injuries, those type of things, it's not a great setting. But to have your team, boy, they 0-5, 0-6 and
6.
To have your team 0-6, you know you're on TV. Here's the one shot that Conference USA has to get a at-large playoff bid was Liberty. That was – the Conference USA this morning has got to be going, what in the heck just happened?
Good.
That was a $10 million loss almost. I mean, that was a massive loss because nobody else in that conference is getting in now.
The name of parity.
Man, I tell you what, but what a huge win for Kennesaw State. And what it says for Brian Bohannon and those kids to play that hard and to – listen, Liberty jumps on them 7-0. You think, here we go. It's about to be – and then next thing you know, they score. They score again, and they held on and – I watched the whole game, man. I'm a sicko. I had Middle Tennessee State and Jack State on my laptop and on my TV.
You are a sicko, man.
Dude, I loved
it. That's definitely sicko.
I went upstairs to watch both games.
Wow, man.
I love it.
That's a man that doesn't have
and
small
not even
children
gambling on him, too.
What did even gamble?
You're watching it with pure intentions.
I watched it, man, and thought, God, slow down football season. Damn, slow down.
Hey, man, let me ask you about this. There's such a kerfuffle about the Texas fans throwing stuff on the field. I like what the SEC did to deflect away from the real subject of the matter, and that's the officiating.
Yeah, it's bad, man. I mean,
that's like, don't look at this. Look over there.
Here's the whole problem, and I don't know. We do have Kirby Smart on this morning, Steakhouse. I don't know how much he'll get into and what he can and what he can't say, but I'll say this: every call, it seemed like, and every Georgia, I think, went 0-3 on reviews. One of those, when Kirk Herbstreit goes, yeah, that's a touchdown. Yeah, that I don't even know why we're looking at that. And then you sit there and go, and he goes, wait a minute, what do you see? And then Chris Fowler goes, well, here's the elevated view. Yeah, he's in, but the side view makes it a touchdown. You're just like, what's going on? And between the Georgia fans, and I do not know if this is true, it seems to be, they have found this man's LinkedIn, the head official. Matt Loeffler.
I saw this.
So Matt Loeffler.
It's like clockwork, man.
So Matt Loeffler was a TCU graduate. Okay, that has nothing to do with Texas. He has been a business owner for 34 years in the state of Texas. Okay, congratulations.
Well, it helps him if Texas is good.
His son has graduated from the University of Texas. His daughter-in-law is a graduate of the University of Texas. I don't know exactly how you bring that into, because I'm going to tell you, there's some human nature involved at sometimes. I don't care what you say. I don't know that you should put that variable into a game like that. I tell you what, if Alabama and Auburn lose a game like that and the head official's son went to Auburn, can you imagine what was
issue
going on? It'd be an issue.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So Villager's torch is going after Frankenstein.
At the end of the day, Georgia went out there and handled business, but I just don't know how you get a situation where you have
how far down the family tree do you go when you start outlawing? Well, I don't know.
When you're at Christmas dinner, when you're at Christmas dinner for the rest of your life, at some point you got to say, wait a minute, maybe this isn't the crew for this. I don't know.
His cousin twice removed's grandfather was a grad assistant at Texas in 1978. What?
I did hear something. Somebody had not, they had a thought, and I want to ask you about LSU, Texas A&M, because that's the biggest
game of the weekend.
But somebody had the kind of thought of, is it time for not to have conference officials anymore and kind of have in some way in college football, can you get together and basically have officiating groups that aren't in a conference, and then that way – there's kind of nothing on the line. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to think about. We've seen calls sometimes that go away, and you're like, well, kind of like what you just talked about.
Yep.
It was a $10 million loss for Conference USA last night.
Yep.
So there's not a $10 million loss for the future Pac-12 or whatever, you know?
Or the officials from the geographic area of the conference.
I don't know. I've always thought, if you're going to get to be an NFL professional, if you're going to get to the SEC, and there is hundreds of millions of dollars in these leagues, period, riding on this the outcomes of these things, I don't know why these guys aren't full-time employees. Why don't you pay these guys and say, okay, either you want to get in this career and we're going to take care of you, from June the 1st until January the 1st, you're a full-time employee of this company.
Yeah, I just don't know if that makes them better. I mean, you still have people that are full-time employees that are terrible at their job.
Well, and honestly,
you can invest in that. Because these guys work in – I know one of the head basketball officials, and he does national championship games. He's a banker Monday through Thursday. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what could he do to review tape and to learn 3 days a week going in? Maybe he could do it.
Here's what I will say, just to kind of bring this home. In the end, on the whole trash on the field thing, the right call was made.
It was the right call.
And that's the thing I keep going back to. Like, yeah, we can talk about ties and all that stuff, and there were definitely some ticky-tack overturns, whatever. You know, you didn't get the benefit of the doubt. But, like, on that one specifically that everybody's been up in arms about, I hate how they came about it. That's in the end, it's like,
the problem made the right call. The problem is, Mike, the problem there is, end of the day, it was the right call. The problem is, next time you have a holding call and somebody don't like it and the student section throws something onto the field and causes a 7.5-minute delay, are they going to discuss that other guy going, hey,
right?
That's the problem, the precedent you set. I had no problem. Once they spotted the ball, I'm like, that's going to be a call. That call right there is going to kind of be about this game. What happened after that, a 7.5-minute delay, and then you see the video of Sark going to talk to that official, and then that official grabs his earpiece, or he puts his hand on his right ear, and then he walks to the center of the field, and then they start discussion. So they're not perfect. They're humans, but that was a judgmental call, and that has been part of football from day one.
Isn't that the essence of what home field advantage is, though? Where you can bully them into changing a call. That's what it's all about.
I tell you what, they bullied them with about 3,000 Dasanis.
What do you think about this LSU-A&M game? Because A&M is very physical on that defensive line, Rusty.
This is the top two teams in SEC right now.
Yes, it is.
This is the top two. This is, I mean, Georgia-Texas, huge game. Georgia-Alabama, everybody talks about. This is the, I saw Billy Lucci, who's one of the market leader of Texas A&M, owns Texags. He said this is the biggest home game in I think 30 years for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
This is how important this game is.
That Mike Elko hire is looking good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is. They play tough. Here's what I'll say. I'm rooting for A&M.
Yeah.
Because I want to see this Texas A&M showdown at the end of the year.
Dude, can you imagine?
I mean,
you're talking about two Colts.
Bare knuckle brawl.
You're talking about two Colts.
Bare knuckle brawl. And is that Thanksgiving? The amount of money floating around
weekend?
That place.
Is that Thanksgiving week? Oh, dude.
And I'm pretty sure it's. I'm pretty sure it's on Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
I might be off on that. It might not be Black Friday. I thought it was. So that one's going to be,
I think it's a big game, Bo. I mean, LSU's playing good. How about Whit Weeks, kid out of Coney County? Whit Weeks' dad, David Weeks, played at Georgia. He was a captain, played with Kirby Smart. He's got two sons at LSU. He's got Wes Weeks and Whit Weeks. He's got a third son, Zach Weeks, who's a 2026 tight end at Oconee County. Already got Power 5 offers. I've known David since college, played at Marist. Whit Weeks has turned LSU around. They lost Harold Perkins, and everybody's like, they're in trouble. Whit Weeks is freaking balling down there.
How about Clemson?
The bad dude, man.
How about Clemson just kind of suddenly just
well, here's what I want to
very
say,
quietly
here, here, here's himself. What I want to say about Clemson. And everybody's talking about Clemson's right. Clemson's going to get – play this SEC schedule. Play what Florida's about to play. Go through what Florida's about. You know, Clemson is over there in that division, and they're just cruising along and getting better, and everybody's getting healthy, and everybody's group hugging, and we love each other. Play the schedule that Florida's about to play. And I'm telling you, this SEC discussion with these schedules, and that's why the Big Ten commissioner and the SEC commissioner went to Nashville for a private meeting, because I'm telling you right now, they're looking at the scope. And they're going to find out how they can protect their leagues, because those two leagues and those schedules, it's murderers.
Well, and it's the same. We have had this conversation about the Big 12 champion maybe not getting the top four. You know, if Navy or Army went out, like you look at the Big 12 schedule and you know BYU and you know Iowa State, whatever. It's like, God, it just feels like robbery that you might see one of those get a four seed.
Yeah, man. I mean, and Clemson. Talking about leaving the ACC, what in the hell are you thinking?
Yeah, you got it made.
Dude, I'd be paying extra to stay. Like, can we pay more? Can we pay more? Because that's where you want to be. Like, it's great for them.
I know we got to go to commercial, Rob. I just want to finish up by saying I think it's LSU's schedule down the stretch. Ugly as well.
Yes.
You got A&M, Bama, Florida, Vandy, and then you finish up with Oklahoma. I think that's a tough one as well. So there's a couple of them when you look at it and go, man, rough stretch coming up.
I'm telling you, I'm going to ask Kirby this. There's going to be one to two SEC schools that's going to get left out that shouldn't have got left out.
Yeah, I agree.
There's going to be one to two, I'm guaranteeing you.
Mm-hmm.
This schedule, this league, when you start doing South Carolina's defense and you look at Vandy, how good they are offensively, this league is no joke right now.
Miss State might get someone. Florida might get someone.
Florida's getting
hot. Mississippi State's going to get somebody.
Well, yeah, just expand it all to 16. Somebody. We'll be all right, right?
They will at some point.
32 teams and the Big Ten and the SEC play for it.
Just do a college basketball
bracket. Having that championship Easter weekend.
Yeah. Easter.
Half Division I.
By the time we get done.
Easter weekend.
You get a bid. You get a bid.
All right, Rusty Manziel coming up on the Steakhouse. And Rusty Rocks.
You're going to like it, man.
I'm going to love it.
You're going to love it.
All right.